everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. Burning the candle at both ends today for whatever reason. But hey, we're here for the show.
Yes, we're busy. And we got a lot accomplished this morning. A lot accomplished in an hour, the last hour. Lots of things coming at you soon, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's going to be. I think the next two or three months are going to be very exciting times at Blueberry Podcasting. So got to get ready for the ride. And I don't have the sign turned on tonight, but Mike, why don't you get us a rundown of what we're going to talk about today? Just the highlights.
All right. Well, we got, of course, some news. We have a best practice. Got some blueberry news as usual. And of course, we've got a blueberry pro tip this time from Kate, who is our normal editor here. So she's going to give us a pro tip from the Blueberry Pro team. And I did an interview with Edwin K. Morris. More on that when we get close to that. Of course, we have the question of the week. So
awesome. Leading off the news, Mike, bada bing, bada boom, Pocket Cast, which was acquired by NPR, has now been reacquired, or I guess a second sale. Has went to Automattic, the folks behind WordPress.
Yep, they own WordPress.com and Tumblr. And they picked up Pocket Cast. No financial deals were mentioned in the article, but NPR said they lost $800,000 last year on Pocket Cast. How do you lose money on an app like that? I don't understand.
It's probably salaries and staff.
Yeah, that's right. I guess they got to keep it running.
That's what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, these free offerings that are out there, someone still has to be paid to run that. It's usually not something done in, on spare time, not have a steady available service. But anyway.
And as we always say, free is kind of a lousy business plan. So this proves it.
Yep. And I don't know how, you know, Mike, if we gave everything away for free, guess what would happen? You and I would not have employment.
Yeah, I'd have to go work at Burger King for $15 an hour or whatever.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and they are hiring, by the way.
Oh, definitely.
So at least here in Michigan, can't get enough help. But anyway, so podcast acquired by Automattic. So good news though. Now, iOS 14.7, Apple fixed what was quote unquote a download bug, automated download bug. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Mike?
Yeah, a lot of people have noticed that their Apple podcast stats have been going down here for a month or so. And it's something was wrong with the Apple podcast downloader, the automatic downloader on iPhones and iPads and whatnot. And apparently they fixed this with iOS 14.7. So your auto download for your shows that you are following or subscribed for the rest of us. We'll download properly. And of course you'll get credit for that if you're a podcaster, as a download in your stats.
But what it did show is some people saw as much as 25% decrease in iOS downloads is that maybe 25% of the people they're downloading are not actually listening. Cause if they'd actually listen and click play, so it doesn't really bode well. So for those, so you need to keep your show motivated, get it pumped up, keep it going, because just because they subscribe does not mean
listen. That's been the age old thing in podcasting is, we can measure downloads and we can't measure whether someone actually plays it after they download it. But what, traditionally has happened, most apps after about 5 downloads and you haven't listened to it, it'll stop downloading.
Yeah.
And so, we can be reasonably sure that most people are listening to it, but that was a little bit of an eye opener to me as well.
So, a couple of tragic events here in the last couple of weeks. Co-host Matt George of the She Rates Dog podcast was killed this past weekend in a hit and run in Los Angeles. And then at the same time, editor at large Brad Launchpad
Mazzari.
He was killed in an airplane crash, and he's a co-host of the Airplane Geeks podcast, and he was killed flying his own, was it Focke-Wulf German warbird.
Yeah, and he had a whole Focke-Wulf. I don't know what model, but he did a whole series on that on Airplane Geeks on acquiring that plane, importing it into the U.S., getting it flight worthy, and all of that. And later on, I you know, I'm pretty familiar with this. Airplane Geeks, or at least Max Flight, the guy behind it, is a customer of Blueberry's, so I know the guy pretty well. But Launchpad apparently crashed before the runway at his home airport, and what they're saying is there's a lot of houses and stuff before that, and he picked a football-sized field, and that's where he crashed. So a lot of speculation now that he knew he wasn't going to make the airport, and rather than landing on somebody's house and possibly hurting someone else, mm-hmm. he put it down early.
Wow, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, an interesting guy for sure. If you ever want to go back and listen to some of his reports on the Airplane Geeks, if you're into aviation, you know, he's going to be sorely missed.
Yep. So two podcasters have departed the, I guess for the one guy, has departed the pattern. It's not, so we can't use that with Matt.
Flew west. That's what they call
it. So
that.
Sadly, anyway, so. Condolences to the families and to the co-host out there. It's truly tragic. Moving on here, Morning Wire launched on Monday. It's a new podcast to compete in the daily news category. Who's doing that podcast?
Yeah, that's by the Daily Wire. That's Ben Shapiro's company there in Nashville.
Mm.
And you know, there's a lot of these daily podcasts, you know, news podcasts, and they wanted to get in on it, so. Good luck to them for sure. I've listened to a couple episodes and it seems just as good as any of the other ones.
Awesome. Yep. For those of you that are car folks, the DetroitBureau.com has launched a new podcast called The Headlight News. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's going to be a weekly kind of a news magazine car review thing, but that's their first foray into podcasting. You know, the Detroit Bureau is a pretty well-watched in the auto industry and car guys and whatever. DetroitBureau.com is a good news site for cars, but now they're doing their first podcast. So.
And, you know, some of these folks have come up with some really cool podcast names, Morning Wire, Headlight News. You know, it's shows that there's still lots of innovation available in the space.
Creativity.
You just got to think about it a little bit, and again, being creative. So that's kind of what we've got for news this week. We do want to talk about preparing for our trade show as the best practice. And many of you are going to be heading off to Podcast Movement in Nashville about a week from now. Some of you will be attending the virtual event. And I think that my suggestions is really kind of try to plan out ahead of time which sessions you're going to attend that not maybe won't necessarily reinforce what you already know, but give you new knowledge. Pick a topic that maybe you're a little thin on and go in and sit in a session on that. And, you know, and maybe even have an alternate session picked for that primary session. Because what I have found sometimes, I have gotten into a session and within 5 minutes, I know this is not the session for me. And I'll look in my calendar and I will kind of quickly pick a secondary and I will leave the session I'm in and go to the secondary session. You're not locked in. You can leave those sessions at any time. And believe me, as a speaker, I take note when people leave.
I see people leaving and coming in, you know, whenever I've spoken anywhere, it's just a natural thing at a conference.
Yep. So, you know, consider that. And then another thing, too, is a lot of people today don't have business cards. I find the younger the person, they don't have a card. So you're going to meet and talk to so many people that you're going to forget who you talk to. And if you can get a business card for them, maybe, you know, you trade business cards. And I hold on to the business card. And when I'm done talking to the person, I have my pen ready and I write a note on the back of my business card. Now, if you're not going to trade business cards, maybe take a picture of someone's badge and then write some notes if you've got, you know, a notebook with you or something like that, so that 3 months from now, you're going to be like, who was that lady I was talking to? And she had something I wanted to know about. And this way you can make every second count when you're at the event, when you're networking, when you're going to you meet people at booths. It's the whole nine yards, because what we're going to do, if you come to the Blueberry booth, if you're going to almost gave away what we're doing at the booth. If you're going to participate in our contest at the booth, we're going to have you do a little contact form. If you come up to us and you don't want to participate in the contest, you just want to talk to us, we're still going to scan your badge. And then typically when you walk away from the booth, or maybe while we're still talking, I'll try to jot some notes down, your new podcast or existing podcaster looking for private podcasting, but need better stats, wants to migrate, needs a support question, whatever it may be, so that at the end of the day, not at the end of the show, at the end of the day, we can say, you know, these are the 10 people we need to follow up with immediately, because I will forgot the conversation we had to, you know, I might.
It's we just, talk to so many people at those shows, you know, and all the vendors do, you know, it's difficult for them to, you know, it's difficult for you to keep track of all that. So it's really good to take notes and that kind of thing. Business card, back to business cards. If you are going to bring business cards, only print them on one side. That way, everybody that gets your card can write something on the back of it. I mean, you know, why not?
Yep. And sometimes the cards are glossy and you can't write anything on them. And so that's okay. But again, I know many of you are not going to have business cards at Podcast Movement. You just like, that's foreign to you.
You can set up a QR code on your phone that people could scan.
You could do that as well. But I think really what it is you're going to be meeting so many people. You have to have some way to interchange and remember who he or she may be, or what company, or, you know, at my sessions, when I speak at the sessions, I actually have a stack of business cards. I bring in a couple hundred business cards to have ready, and I make sure that I give business cards to everyone that I talk to during that session. So I think that's at least a couple of my tips, Mike. You got any additional ones for?
Well, yeah, back to the session thing. You know, I go through that schedule and I'll mark off all the sessions I want to go to. And again, it's always good to have an alternate. Make sure your alternate's pretty close geographically. But that, and also don't be afraid to skip some of the sessions and just, you know, hang out in the show floor or hang out in the hallways. That's some of the best networking right there. You know, most of the contacts I've made at conferences have happened, you know, at lunch or in the hallway or just wandering around the show floor, not necessarily talking to anybody at any booths. It's just, you know, you run into people and it's a great place for that. And Podcast Movement in Nashville this year is probably going to be the first time we've done this in a while.
And, you know, and I think too, you're right, Mike, because we basically, I find that we get more business done after hours. So, you know, if you're going to leave the conference immediately at whatever the end of the last session of the day, and you're going to go back to your hotel and not come back, you're missing 80% of the show. It's really about grabbing two or three people. If you're there alone, grab two or three people, go to dinner, come back and hang out in the hallways, the lobby, the evening events, the bar, wherever it may be. I kind of have this, I call it holding court. You know, we'll find some place, we'll have scoped some place out, and then we will go secure that spot near the end of the show day and have enough for 5, 6, 7, 8 people to be able to come on and sit down, and we'll order in drinks and some, you know, some snacks and stuff like that, and just meet with people kind of in that area. And we do that every evening. And it just, it's just a great way to network and talk with people and tell stories and learn and just suck up knowledge. And I think that's the biggest part of the event. Now, you may be tempted to go out on the town. Now, again, we go to the evening events, the sponsored events that they have. Those are great places to network to sometimes.
Sometimes it depends on how loud the music is and whatnot. And one other thing, if you drink, don't overdo it at the parties and stuff, because you can become famous for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, that's true.
That happened a couple years ago.
So we try to we like to have a good time, just like anyone else. I think that's just we have to all be aware of where people are watching and making opinions and judgments, and it's just kind of the way it goes. But anyway, have a good time at Podcast Movement. We'll see you there. We'll be talking about this again next week about more particulars about what we're doing. And then because I think we can reveal next week on the show what we have planned.
We were embargoed this morning.
Because it's still, someone can still do what we're going to do. And yeah, so anyway, until next week. Let's talk about a little bit of blueberry news. Let's talk about the latest blog post.
Yeah, new blog post by a writer I hadn't heard of yet, Meryl Klemmow. I hope I'm not butchering her name, but she wrote a blog post, "Do You Really Need a Co-Host?" And she talks about, she did a show with a co-host. There's other people out there that do them solo. And of course, you and I, other than this show and, well, your other show, but, when we both started, we were both solo.
Solo for years.
And years. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to have a co-host. It's not not necessarily necessary, Like on this show, we want to have a co-host because I'm not going to be here sometimes. You're not going to be here sometimes. Yep. We'll bring in other people. It's a different vibe. But, for my personal show, it's just me.
Yep.
And
I think that what you all have to kind of understand on this too is a lot of people think they have to have a co-host to do a podcast. I've done 1,541 episodes of my primary show, just me, nary a guest. And I don't have to rely on no one. I have to worry about their schedule. I just have to worry about me. Whereas on this show, we do it because of this is the way we've designed the show. And the other show that I do with my other co-host, that's how I designed that show. But, we've been doing the show for so many years, him and I know when and what time we're going to meet and do the show. And it's not been, and when we have a conflict schedule, we just don't do the show. Like when we're traveling, we're going to do our one show live at Podcast Movement on Friday. So that essentially will be the filler for the show that we would have missed on Wednesday of next week. And we're not going to do I don't know what we're going to do for our show at Podcast Movement. We'll have to talk about it. But I think that, you don't always need a co-host. But anyway, what's going on with PowerPress?
Oh, well, new bug fix came out a couple days ago, 8.5.7, if you're keeping score. And it's mostly bug fixes for our network features and a couple other little things under the hood. Nothing too drastic unless you're using our network features. Yep. Our network plug, what used to be the network plugin, got built into PowerPress, and so he was just doing a little tweaking on that.
And I'm speaking at Podcast Movement twice. One, I have a dedicated session. The other one, we're doing we've got the new media show is going to be live. We've got a number of guests that are coming in.
You're the last session of the conference, aren't you?
That's right. And we'll be in the main ballroom, and should be very, very exciting show. Mike, you're going to be speaking as well, right?
Yep, I'm on the virtual track this year. They didn't have enough live spots, but they graciously are letting me pre-record. So I'm going to be doing one on why you need a website for your podcast, things we talk about here.
Awesome. So let's talk about, we've got a new segment, right? The segment coming up from Kate.
Yep, Kate's going to do a thing about preparing your guests. So she's from the Blueberry Pro team and mostly our editor here. So that's awesome. So we'll cut over to that.
And as a reminder, you can find out more about Blueberry Pro at blueberrypro.com. And here's Kate.
Hi, this is Kate from Blueberry Pro Production. We're going to be talking about preparing your guest for an interview on your podcast. If your guest is a seasoned Zoom user, with a podcast microphone setup, that's fantastic. If they don't, here are four ways for you to make sure your guest is getting the best audio capture for the most enjoyable listening. Number one, where possible, please make sure your guest is in a quiet environment. It's super helpful if they can stay away from noisy fans, open windows, open plan offices. Also, have them make sure that their devices, computers, cell phones, are off or set to silent. Number two, room furnishings. Soft furnishings are much better than corridors or rooms with hard walls and floors where sound can bounce around. It stops your guests from sounding like they're stuck in an echo chamber. And there's one thing in production we really can't fix effectively, and that's an echo. It's a bit like trying to unbake a cake. Number three, rather than using the built-in microphone on their computer, it's much better to use the built-in microphone on headphones or earbuds that come with just about every smartphone. If your guest doesn't have any, it would be great if they could just call you on a very stable cell phone signal. That will give better capture than a laptop or a computer built-in microphone. Number four, please make sure your guest has a strong Wi-Fi signal where they are. If they don't, have them turn off their video. That frees up bandwidth and allows for a cleaner recording capture. As a gift for you, we have a takeaway letter that you can send to your guest in preparation for the interview that has all of these tips, along with a few more wonderful things that your guests might need to know and that you will find helpful. You can find the link to that download in the show notes. So to recap, number one, please make sure you're in a quiet environment with your notifications on your cell phone and computer set to silent. Number two, be in a room with soft furnishings rather than hard floors and hard walls. Number three, use earbuds rather than the onboard microphone of a computer or a laptop. Number four, make sure your guest has a strong Wi-Fi signal, and in the event the Wi-Fi signal is slightly weak, turn off your video to allow for a cleaner audio capture. I'm Kate, and this is today's Blueberry Pro production tip.
I want to thank Kate for putting that in. Those have some great tips for preparing a guest and getting ready for that recording, because too often, can turn into a bit of a nightmare. Mike, there's a few things in that suggestion maybe you and I can.
Oh yeah,
So,
I interviewed Edwin K. Morris. We're gonna play that next, and I didn't need to prep him. He's a natural talker. It was a really good interview. He does a show called Because You Need to Know. And what that talks about is knowledge management, which is a thing like, say, you know, you're at a company and some key employee goes away for some reason and nobody else knows all the stuff about what's going on. And he focuses more towards nonprofits. But anyway, let's go to the interview. Hello, Edwin. Thanks for being on the show on short notice. It's only been about a week.
I know, but the weather's been working with us, so I'm pretty happy to be here. Thank you.
Very good. So you're new to Blueberry. You came over from another company.
I did.
And so far, what's your experience? Just because.
Well, you know, it's been a simple integration with WordPress. I think that was really the main indicator of what I researched initially, was the connection and the availability of downstream publishing in an easy way. So Blueberry was like one of those things that I wasn't looking for, but it was a solution that found me.
Well, there you go. Were you using WordPress prior to hosting with us?
Yes. Yeah, we had WordPress. Yep.
Okay. Were you using PowerPress, or were you just dropping a link in or something?
PowerPress.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. I do remember. That was what, last week we moved you over, and it's
right.
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. It is.
So what's the name of your show or shows?
We're a nonprofit, and our show is called Because You Need to Know.
Okay, very good. So what's it about? Give me the elevator pitch. How about that?
Sure. Well, we deal in, we're actually in a very unique position because we are the first nonprofit in the United States doing knowledge management for a charitable purpose. So we help people build knowledge management. In an effort to get that out there, the podcasting was a natural fit for us, and we developed this show to feature knowledge management people and or nonprofit people. Anybody in that realm of industry, and any industry actually, that is in those interest groups. And so we really just geared up and set up an opportunity to talk and have conversations with people and get their experience. You know, the whole idea of transferring knowledge is to share your story or share a story. And the audible, using audio, I should say, in podcasting is a simple way to do that.
Yeah, definitely. It is. Now, excuse my ignorance here, but what exactly is knowledge management?
Well, it's very cool. It's the future. So knowledge management is a way that an organization designs and constructs knowledge as an asset within its organization. So think of it similarly as what an organization does when it tracks its own money. You know, you've got a chief financial officer, you've got people that are responsible for budgets and tracking and owning all that spend. It's the same concept in developing an organization's knowledge. Now, you probably have had this happen in an organization maybe in your past where one individual has a lot of the keys of the organization, knowledge keys. You know, they can definitely relate. Yeah, right. They're the one person everybody goes to. Well, that's not really a long-term benefit to the organization if it's centralized in someone's laptop, if those answers are not findable by other folks in the organization. So those are things that we try to combat, are those old ways of thinking that holding all the keys makes you fireproof to getting let go or, you know, passed over, so to speak. So that organizational intent to create a shareable resource called knowledge is really the formidable way to make yourself long-term and future-proofed.
My term for that was if we had somebody that was too important, I guess would be the right way to put it. People could get run over by a bus. I mean, seriously.
Exactly right. That is, so we're talking about succession planning, right? So if an organization does not identify those key holders of knowledge to help build a succession plan, because yeah, you're right. If someone leaves the company or just takes off and retires, so to speak, or has a medical issue. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs. And if the organization has not put the forethought into how do we set up the next person that's going to fill that slot, how do we set them up for success? That's an issue.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we talked about earlier in this show, a couple of podcasters that passed away. And same thing with that. You know, you think about, is the show going to continue? You know, not they weren't solo podcasters. They had co-hosts and the shows will go on. But a while back, we had an organization that podcasted with us and they had probably 30 or 40 shows. And one guy had the keys to it and he passed away. So the guy that took over for him, you know, it was quite a learning curve for him.
Yeah. And it's not just a learning curve. It is a reduction of performance in an organization. You know, that example just shows how impactful something like that happens. And then you're left with trying to pick up the pieces, you know, as an organization and trying to carry the load of going forward and meeting the mail of the mission of the organization. All of that is really slows down the organization's capability and it redirects resources that necessarily... If the pre-thought had been put forth before, then it wouldn't have been such a impact.
Yeah, well, it's always a shock when someone becomes unavailable for whatever reason.
Sure, but, sure. Well, even, come on, you know, how many organizations has somebody been on leave or medical leave or vacation and somebody had to reach out to them because of something? You know, we needed to get into your laptop. Oh, we needed this. Oh, you know, it's like, who wants to answer that call on vacation?
Yeah, it happens to me all the time.
Well, you're so important.
Well, Yeah, I think so myself sometimes, but yeah, you know, it is. Ego gets in the way. So this is applicable to, you know, not just nonprofits, but I know you're focusing on that, but for any sort of organization or business.
Well, it doesn't stop there. I mean, this is a personal thing too. So if you think about digital assets, who's going to be addressing your family's digital assets? Right. So here again, going back to succession planning, if you're going to have an estate plan, which is usually a lawyer and wills and trusts and who gets what, you know, when you kick the bucket, well, who's putting effort into the digital assets, profiles, all that, files, just electronic files. So if you have if you have collected data over the last 30 years and now you've got, oh, this old PC over here and this laptop and this external drive over here and some of it's password protected and I don't even know if I remember the password into that, you know, all of that kind of inventory, it'll just end up being a pile of junk if no one can get access or figure out what's in there.
Oh, yeah. I help my parents out a lot with their computer-related stuff. And, you know, even though they're both, you know, alive and well, it's still hard to keep. You know, it's hard to manage. So, yeah, we definitely need to get some sort of plans in place.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the organizational pain points have to do usually with the people involved and the technology they're using. So it really, knowledge management just boils down three things: people, processes, and technology. Whatever those buckets represent, you look at it at an enterprise level, and try to figure out the best way to create a stream of knowledge that stays with the organization and is freely available.
We here at Blueberry, we do a lot of that just because we need to. You know, we have documentation, not only for our customers, but we have internal documentation, you know, to explain certain processes. But there are certain things in the company where one or two people are the only ones that know anything about it.
Right. Right. And some of that is natural. I think most organizations would think at the C level or at the top level would say, you know, not everybody needs to know this. Okay. Yeah, I get that. I mean, there's certain things that stay under the hood or behind the curtain. But still, if you don't have a succession plan that says you've got a duplicate, you've got a backup, you know, those types of things makes it difficult when those incidents happen.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, I'm going to have to take a listen to your show there. I haven't done that yet.
Well, thanks. Yeah, well, it's been interesting. You know, I've got a global footprint for guests from because knowledge management and nonprofit work is everywhere. And it's always fun when I get a knowledge management professional that happens to be doing knowledge management in a nonprofit, because then it combines both worlds for me. So really the intent is just to sit down and tell me something as a guest, you know, as the host, is just share something with me that is meaningful to you. And we don't do a canned question and answer. We don't do anything scripted. I refer to it as free range knowledge. Like you have free range chickens and free range, whatever. This is free range knowledge. Let's just sit down like we're two just people having a conversation and let it flow like it should.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we do here at Podcast Insider when we have guests. We don't always have guests, but I think it was me that reached out to you first about this, getting on the show?
Yeah, I think there was a mutual, well, it was you helping me set up this, a couple of things I couldn't figure out when we transferred over to Blueberry. And I was like, wow, this customer service is impeccable. And of course you smiled and said, wow. And you're like, hey, you should be on my show. And I'm like, what? You have a show? Who doesn't have a podcast show?
Right, right. Well, you know, I've been at it a while, and this is our company show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and I have a couple personal shows and all that. Speaking of that, how long have you been at this podcasting thing?
Well, the podcasting is based on a foundation of broadcasting. So I have a broadcast background, and so the podcasting has been going on for about six years-ish, six and a half. And it's been a labor of love, and that I just like, as you can tell, I like to talk. So this works out well for me, and it works out well in the idea that we can tap into all these different sources of, and I'm not focused on infotainment here. I'm not focused on just entertainment. I'm focused on, tell us something that's usable. Tell us something that would help somebody. And that's really the onus of who and why we talk to folks.
Yeah, you were on radio before, or are you still currently on radio?
No, I have stepped away from all radio production. It's been years since I've worked radio.
How was the transition to podcasting from radio? Yeah.
Well, you know, they all have their learning curves. I'm sure all the technology that I used to know are long gone in the broadcast world. I can remember working my television internship at a PBS station, and they were just getting in digital tape. And those things didn't last long. These huge reels of video were just massive. So the technology itself has been easy to some degree, because all I need is YouTube University to figure out stuff for the most part, or call a friend. Hey, how do I do this? Right. There are so many resources out there. It was initially kind of tough because I'm not a technophobe. I am not the technology engineer. I am the one in front of the camera, not behind the camera. And so there are points of software that were hard for me to get through as far as the production end and editing and all of that sort of thing, but persistence pays, and continued progress and making things better. Geez, if you listen to some of the first initial podcasts I put out, they're horrible. Oh, the quality is just terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's a start, and it's gotten way better.
Yeah, I tell customers that are just starting out, I always say your first podcast is going to suck. And then your second one is going to suck a little less. And it just keeps getting better.
Yes, exactly.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I got a little bit of a broadcast background we'll talk about after the interview here.
Okay.
But, and I'm still currently doing some. But I use the same setup, ironically. So, so I get to do it from home or from the office in my backyard.
Right. But, right. That's the other convenience, right? So the only limitation, the biggest limitation, I think, for folks in this looking at doing this is that what's your internet bandwidth? That is the real only, you know, for doing anything to record. That's been my issue, is having good internet.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been an issue, you know, through the whole pandemic thing and, you know, everybody working from home. And I think so. There's some improvements at, what is that, Starlink. Once that gets out and about, that'll help some of the rural areas. Well, you know,
it's funny. Yeah. So I think it'll at least give them options where there are none. Right. And but I've heard that latency is terrible with that. So
it's better than the old HughesNet, though. So it should be good.
Better in dial-up. Better. Yeah. Not best.
But, yeah. It's like with DSL, you know, DSL was awesome, you know, in the time of dial-up.
It was a huge step up from dial-up. And then once you've had cable internet after that, it was like, oh, I can't go back to DSL. That's just terrible.
I got fiber here.
We have fiber also. And I would say if you're looking to set up a good location, make sure they've got fiber or something to that level.
Yeah, yep. Or at least cable internet with decent up speeds, because you know, a lot of people don't think about that. They think about the download speed. But
yeah,
you know, if you're pushing a HD video, say you want to go live or something on Facebook or whatever, you're pushing an HD stream out, you need a little bit of bandwidth.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly right.
You know, and even this audio stuff, I mean, you know, we're using Zoom today. I don't usually use Zoom for podcasting, but we're using that today and, you know, running it into my board here with a mix minus and, you know, let's let everybody's eyes glaze over on that one. But so how many episodes have you gotten in the 6 or so years, just out of curiosity?
You know, I have never done a count. I'm guessing probably 70.
Okay, very good. So you're about every other month or every couple months or whatever?
Every couple of months, my model for release is erratic.
When it's done.
And we, exactly, yeah. I'm hired out for a company to do their podcasting as a host and a production person. And they have a set schedule where it's released every Tuesday. Right. So we've been doing podcasts for that company for a year and a half now. And, we haven't missed a week. Yeah. So, you know, that's good if that's the way you want it, because she had done all the research as a marketing person and said, well, you know, Tuesdays seem to be the day that they're released the best, and between this time and that time, and yeah. I'm not that scientific, so.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, on my personal shows, it's, you know, I'm the king of inconsistency. But with this show, you know, Podcast Insider, that's a company show. We've been consistently doing it every week for 200 and something episodes. I think this is going to be like 253 or something.
Ah.
And, you know, so that's, but, you know, there was breaks in there, but, sure. You know, not recently. And what's nice yeah. about it is we have multiple hosts. It's, you know, myself, Todd, sometimes Mackenzie, or if Todd's out or I'm out. We get a co-host in, you know, from the company or sometimes from outside the company. So it works out pretty good. Plus, we have our own production crew, so we just send them the file.
Oh, that's very helpful. Oh, boy, yeah. Well, that at least that helps the back end and the post-production. When you're the host and the producer and the editor and the
it's, like, you know, most it's podcasters.
Like, yeah, right. It's like, okay, I'm going to get to this when I get to it. But I will say two things. One is that I wanted to plug our other show, which is a unique show that we do as a talk show with a panel of folks called KM Lobby. So that's an incidental show. I've got a executive producer in Italy that's a volunteer position, Janetta, and she has orchestrated our last couple of shows to the point where we have really super special guests, and then we have three co-hosts that sit on to do the podcast. So that's been super fun.
Yeah, those panel shows are kind of fun for sure.
It kind of sets it up, right? So it's kind of unique because the one co-host is in London and she's a knowledge management person. Janetta's in Italy. She's a knowledge management person. I'm here in the States. And so we come at it in three different angles to the same guest, you know? So it kind of makes it a lot more entertaining, a lot more in depth.
And you get to gang up on them.
You get to gang up, but you also get to bring different perspectives. Like sure. Janetta will have a perspective and I'll come in with a different way. And so it just, it's very engaging.
Well, you know, it's great that you're doing other shows and you're also, you know, hiring yourself out as a producer. So that's cool. And host.
Well, what was kind of funny was the story with that was the company, the CEO of that company knew me personally. And they had on their own tried to do a podcast and failed. So she reached out to me and said, hey, would you like to be our guy? And I'm like, I don't know anything about that industry, but sure. So it has worked out splendidly.
And I bet you've learned.
I have. But the key ingredient here for anybody looking to do that when you're trying to bridge into an industry or a subject matter you have no experience in, but you still want to be the host or sell that as a host, is that I have what I would term as an executive producer that sits in that company. So she provides me any kind of concepts or specific frameworks to bring up in the conversation. So I do sound kind of smart on the subject matter, but I'm not. I just, you know, she keeps me on track.
Yeah, well, that's the nice thing about podcasting over radio is, you know, we're recording this. If we completely screw this up, we can start over.
Yes.
And we can edit. Yes. And we can, you know, add things, subtract things. And, you know, it's not out there and gone, you know, in broadcasting, you know, you do a tongue twister on the air. Yeah. It's out there. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the key ingredients that I think is an easy to remember is that always do three takes. When I'm working with somebody, like they're going to do their introduction or they're trying to put something in the can, so to speak, I just have them do three takes. Just read it three times if they're going off of a script. Just do it three different ways. Do it three different times. And when you're in the editing booth part and you're listening, you can definitely pick one of your favorites that just sounds better. It may be the same language over and over, but one will sound better.
Oh yeah, definitely. And yeah. And you know, or if one sounds great, but you screwed up one word, you can always take the word out of another one.
Yes,
you know, if you really want to dig in.
Yes, that's right.
You know, personally, I clip the ends, level it, and send it. You know, I don't. You know. Now with this show, we actually have an editing crew. Like I said, our Blueberry Pro production, they take care of everything and make us sound smarter.
Well, explain to me this: where is Blueberry? Where are they set up? Where are they based out of?
The company is officially based out of Columbus, Ohio. So we have a we have a office and studio down there, and then about I'd say 2/3 of the company is scattered about the U.S. So I'm in Michigan. The CEO's in Michigan. Got people in Colorado, California, New York. You know, just all around.
Nice.
So it's, you know, it started out as virtual, and then our development team, as it grew, you know, found that it was probably easier to have them all together. So that's why they settled on Columbus, since our CIO lived there. So so we all end up in Columbus once in a while, and it's not such a bad place.
Right. No, it's got good barbecue, actually.
Yeah. It's like the king of chain restaurants.
I never heard that one. Really?
Yeah, well, where I live, it's, you know, we've got like these celebrity chef restaurants and, you know, one-offs and all this stuff, and few chains. And then down in Columbus, it's a lot of chains. They're kind of a test market for everything.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so, you know, plus a lot of fast food is based there. Yeah, so anyway, just interesting trivia, not to do with podcasting.
No. Well, technology, right? I mean, it's just... It's where commerce happens.
Yep. Guess we'll wrap this up. Tell me a little bit more about, you know, how people get a hold of you, what the name of the shows are, where would they find them, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Shameless pitch, you know.
Yes. We are Pioneer Knowledge Services. We're the first 501c3 doing knowledge management as a charitable purpose and or function in the U.S. We're new. We're fairly new. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, on our website, pioneer-ks.org, pretty much everywhere. The names of the show are Because You Need to Know, and they're everywhere. And the special edition is called KM Lobby.
Okay, very good. We'll have links to all that in the show notes.
Awesome.
At podcastinsider.com. Thanks for being on.
This has been a blast. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a great rest of your day.
Mike, thanks for doing that interview. And of course, those of you that are watching live, we skip these pre-recorded segments and they're only available in the podcast. And you just have to go over to podcastinsider.com, subscribe to the show. You can listen to those two segments. You can fast forward because you've already listened to Mike and I on everything here. But fast forward to those two segments. And again, Mike, thanks for doing that interview with Edwin. Let's move on to our question of the week.
Yep. Got to get this question quite a bit, so I figured I would put it in here. I want to stop podcasting. Do I have to pay my podcast host to keep my episodes online?
That's a good question. Hey, Mike, what happens when you quit paying your electric bill?
Usually everything goes dark.
Yeah. Electric, water. Yeah. They'll turn you off. So yeah. Blueberry and most other hosts will remove your episodes after you cancel your hosting plan with them. And again, like I just kind of described, it's like your electric bill. You still have a minimum payment.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, even if you have electricity hooked up to your house and you go on vacation for a month and you don't use anything in your house, which would be rare, but if no electricity gets used, you still have that minimum payment due. And that's the same thing. You know, not only are you paying for the monthly uploads, but you're also paying for the storage of all the back episodes.
I think a lot of people would be shocked, Mike, if they knew how much power their house used just by not being there. I had went on an extended vacation once and just left the minimums on in the house. And I came back and I still had electric. I was like, what? And I went, the air wasn't even run. I'm like, what is this? That's how much that power that refrigerator use.
Well, think about it, all these wall warts that you have for charging things. Those are using power, whether you've got something plugged into the other end of it or not.
That's why you need smart plugs that stop that silliness when they're not drawing power.
Right.
But that was a good question of the week. Yes, you have to continue to pay. And if you're on a higher plan, just downgrade to the lower plan if you want to keep your media online. And all's good. It can live on into infinity until you cancel. So if you have a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's because we couldn't afford the E's. Audio, text, or video. And we may use it on the call show. And of course, be sure to follow or subscribe to the companion show to this one. It's called Podcast Help Desk, where Mike does a little deeper dive in the geeking, techie side of podcasting. So anything planned for a Podcast Help Desk this week?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of not do my presentation that I'm doing for Podcast Movement, but I want to talk about, you know, some of the reasons why you want a website and maybe some tips on what websites work better than others.
Ah, and of course, the place for support with Blueberry products and services, our ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Tickets give the whole team access rather than direct emails or calls. And if you need to do a call, we'll get you scheduled at a time when one of the team members is available. Mike or the rest of the team will send you a link and you can schedule. It's something that works for both our support team and you as our customer. So we want to help you, of course. If it's a dire emergency, you can pick up the phone, but that support ticket is often just as fast as trying to call us.
Yeah. And definitely putting it on the Facebook group, you'll get attention, but it may not be right away.
Yeah. So have you decided to start a podcast? I'm talking to the audience out there. Are you thinking about one? Well, just go over to blueberry.com and use the promo code Insider for a free month. And that's going to get you a 30-day free trial with us so that you can try out Blueberry Podcasting Services. Of course, we are coming to you from a variety of locations. Mike, and you're in studio up in Traverse, and I'm down here in Coldwater, Michigan. But you can always schedule a one-on-one with either Todd and Mike. And what I'll do is I will give you for hosting customers only, I give you basically 30 minutes of my time to talk about your show. So all you got to do is email me, todd@blueberry.com. If you need us, schedule a tech checkup with Mike. Again, this is hosting customers only. You can email mike@blueberry.com. And don't forget, you can send a sticker, a podcast sticker, in a self-addressed stamped envelope.
I had one of those stickers around here somewhere.
And we'll send you, I don't know if I've got one here. I've got one of my Geek News Central ones. Actually, yeah, I got one of them from my other show.
Yeah.
I got that from, forget where I get those stickers from. It's a pretty popular company.
Yeah, it's the one with the donkey.
It'll come to me in a minute. But Sticker Mule is where you get it. Sticker Mule is where I get stickers. And they often have, here's a trick with Sticker Mule. Do one order, and then they send you special offers every week where you can get like 20 of something for $5 or 450 of something for $19.95. And that you just little by little, you can trickle some stuff in so you can have some show swag to give away to your audience. But anyway, our mailing address is in the show notes. But Mike, I think that brings us to the end of the show.
Yeah, I think we're good till next week. And next week we'll have an announcement or two, maybe, maybe not. And the week after, Todd, well, we'll do it right here on the show. I think maybe we'll do a show from the booth.
Potentially we will. Yeah. So we'll see what happens and see what you'll have to bring the recording gear, Mike, because I'm not bringing anything.
Okay, so, no problem.
That'll work. But anyway, everyone, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate your ongoing support of the show and your questions being asked. And don't forget, you can also be highlighted here. We bring you on, talk about your show, just as we did with Edwin on his show, Because You Need to Know podcast. And just drop us an email for the information we've already given you. So thanks for being here. We'll see you next week on another edition of the world famous Podcast Insider. Anyone, see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.